Father, we just thank you that our dependence is not upon men. Our dependence is not upon security in this world. Our dependence is upon you. Our dependence is upon the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who indwells us, by whom you gave a promise, of whom you gave a promise, and then you fulfilled your promise. And that Holy Spirit came to indwell, even as prophesied in the prophet Joel, that he came. He said, Peter said, this is that. This is that. This is it. That which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that the Spirit of God would come to dwell in us. And Father, we thank you right now for the provision that is always for us and never lacking. It appears to be lacking. But we don't count. We don't look at things the way men look at things. We trust you because you've made a promise. So we give you praise that our dependence again is not upon men, but upon you in every circumstance, in every situation. We worship you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because stuff happens. And most of the time, stuff happens because stuff just happens. You know, Jesus said it. He said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. Paul was singing this morning, be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Jesus referring back to the Psalm. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's the day that I was crucified. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. No matter what takes place today, whether I was expecting it or not expecting it, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's the day that the Lord has made. Amen? God made a day. God made the day. Now, because we're worried about the minutia. Well, that's pretty big minutia, isn't it? You know, well, we're going to eat today. It's a pretty big minutia. But God said, pay attention to what I said. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you're like me, when the stuff comes up, you generally tend to grumble. Huh? Anybody tend to grumble? Well, get past the grumble. Amen? Now, God really doesn't even mind if you grumble, to be honest with you. It just doesn't help you. Amen? I say, God doesn't mind if you grumble. He just knows one thing. It doesn't help you. Amen? It's wasting time. It's like feeling guilty. Feeling guilty never helps anything, does it? Huh? Feeling worthless doesn't help anything, does it? Feeling vengeful doesn't help anything, does it? Usually gets you into trouble. Amen? Because it kind of gets you brewing and stewing and thinking about things that are evil and wicked. You're going to come and take vengeance. When the Lord said, vengeance is mine, you want to take it. You say, I'll take that, thank you. Just let me have that lead pipe for about 5 minutes. You know, maybe you're not into lead pipe. Maybe you're just into gossip. I'll just ruin them. Amen? Anybody like to ruin people? You know, by your words? I know I do. Praise the Lord. Now, whether I do or don't, I hope I didn't talk about you this week. Praise the Lord. You'll find out. You'll find out, won't you? Or maybe it was somebody else here. But God says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if we look here at chapter 8, we're talking about when trouble comes. Now, here comes the attack upon Ephraim. And here's our thought. Here's what we're going to do. He says verse 7, look at that. Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it shall come up over all its channels and go over all of its banks. And it shall pass through Judah, it shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of its wings shall fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. In other words, here comes a judgment based on what's been happening in Israel. A judgment coming from the Lord. Now, judgment has come first and now in Christ Jesus. Judgment has come on who? Who's first on judgment is the enemy. The prince of this world is judged. So the judgments that come in our day are twofold. One against the enemy, one against the devil himself, canceling his power, his ability to put evil thoughts, put destruction on you if you will believe. Because Jesus says this, is that the Holy Ghost is coming to do three things. He's coming to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Sin because they what? Sin all over the place? No. Sin, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal what sin? Because they believe not on me. That's what sin the Holy Spirit reveals. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Well, when Jesus goes to his Father, what's he showing? He shows him his blood. He goes and shows him his blood that has been shed on your behalf. So now he invites all of us to come into the presence of the Heavenly Father. Then finally, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. That's the guy who comes in and desires every day to get you to come up with a different solution than the solution that God's provided for you. Well, everything's going wrong. He said, we'll praise the Lord. Now I'd rather grumble. I'd rather take matters into my own hands. See, when the prince of this world is judged, the prince of this world actually has got a bunch of good ideas of how you should deal with your problems. And he's very happy to send folks out as consultants to kind of give you options as to how you might deal with certain things. The issue of judgment in this world right now has to do with judgment comes because things are built into the system. You step out in front of a car, what happens? A moving car. Splat, thank you. Splat's a good word. There are certain judgments that are built into the world, but final judgment is waited till the end. Final judgment is waited till the end. In the Old Testament, things were somewhat different. There were judgments that came upon the people of Israel. Judgments coming upon the people of Israel. Judgments coming upon not out of anger, but to stop you. To stop you from messing up the plan that God is producing. All right? So in this point, in Isaiah chapter 8, here comes a judgment upon them. And now God tells them to do one thing. When the judgment of God comes, here's your response. Hey, let's make an association. Let's get together. Let's form a committee. Let's make a plan to get out of God's judgment. Well, you know what you know how to get out of the judgment of God? Repent. Repent. Say, you know, what does that mean? It just means turn around. It means stop. You know, somebody will tell you the first thing to do when you find yourself in a hole, you know what you do? First thing? Anybody know? Well, pray. Stop digging. Stop digging. That would be akin to repent. Turn around. Stop. Go the other direction. When you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself against God, repent, stop. But here's our thought. Let's make a committee. Let's get together. Let's associate ourselves. See, God says, do not associate yourself. Don't try to make a plan. When you find yourself in opposition to the Lord, when you find yourself having come to a place where you cannot move and you have no ability to move forward, He said, don't look to the world to help you. Here's their thought, verse 9. Oh, so associate yourselves, oh you people. So this is how the enemy is going to help you. You guys need to get together. You guys need to make a plan. But God says, associate yourselves and you will be broken in pieces. Try to make a confederation and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all of you far countries. Gird yourselves and you shall be broken in pieces. Steel yourselves. In other words, get ready. Get yourself ready for the battle. And what's going to happen? And you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. He said it twice. And you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together. Ah. So the next, it's an encouragement again. Take counsel together. Let's figure this thing out. And it shall come to nothing. Take counsel together and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Now, in this world, in this day, there is always an option to walk in the security of this world, to figure things out, to sort things out according to the world first. The Lord is saying, come to me, because He is your government. The Lord Himself is your government. You no longer... See, even in this day, the prince of this world was desiring to rule over the land of Canaan, over the land of Israel. He believes it's his land. He believes, as the prince of the power of this world, he believes this is his domain. However, there are a people of faith. There are a people of faith that are not of his domain, and that's you. But we tend to forget that. Because we got one of these. Anybody got one of these? Huh? You have one of these flesh bodies that tends to be comforted by things in this world, to be comforted by security, to be comforted by their need, its needs being met. But God said that He would supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here, now say this now, verse 12. Say you not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say. A confederacy. That is again, same thing as get together, make an association. Say you not a confederacy. Don't join them. To all whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear you their fear, nor be afraid. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Don't participate in their fear. Well, they're going to take over. Those government bureaucrats and numbskulls, they're going to take over. They're going to take all my health care. They're going to take all my money. He said, don't even join in with their fear. Huh? If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you do something. But do not join with their fear. Don't join in their association to say, I'm going to join in with their terror. Get myself involved in their terror. Neither fear you their fear, nor be afraid. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself and let Him be your fear. See, don't let the fear be your fear, but let the Holy One be your fear. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself and let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. That's changing your mind. You read the New Testament, repentance talks about changing your mind. Changing your mind. Not letting this world and its wisdom rule your mind. There's a lot of worldly wisdom. But he said, do not let that fear, their fear be your fear. Nor their dread be your dread. But sanctify the Lord Himself. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. In other words, I'm afraid of God rather than, instead of being afraid of what's coming. Amen? I'm afraid of God rather than what I'm afraid of what's coming. Afraid of God in the sense, number one, He's bigger than what's coming. Number two, He's my dad. He's my dad. This other stuff that's going on is no match for my God, my King. And you meditate upon these things, and you think upon these things, and you read the Scriptures, you open the Scriptures. You meditate upon these things day and night, because otherwise you'll meditate on the other things day and night. Amen? Huh? You'll meditate on Fox News day and night. Meditate on CNN day and night. Meditate on all of these things day and night. Didn't used to be day and night. When I was a kid, you had 30 minutes of news at 6, and that was it. Now you got it at, you know, better than Dr. Pepper. Better than 10, 2, and 4. I mean, you got news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even when there's no news, you got news. Now you tell me what's foolish about that. That's just nuts. I mean, you're just making it up now. Amen. I mean, you gotta keep the news going just so you can keep the commercials going. How many know I'm talking about? How many know I'm right? Huh? You gotta make it's all about making money, it's not about news. Did they change their mind yet? Well, you just asked me 5 minutes ago. No, he just got on the plane to go to Copenhagen. There's no news yet. Well, they'll tell you about his hairdo and how that's going to affect global warming. Amen? Talk about his carbon footprint. Climate change. Yeah, whatever. Is that? They don't know whether it'll be hot or cold. That's good. Dave, you ought to be a preacher. Probably got the genes for it. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord of hosts. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And He shall come, He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of some stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, and for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He shall be for a sanctuary for those who believe. But for those who don't, remember what Jesus said, He's a rock of offense. He's a rock of offense. He's like, you know, well, we don't like that. We don't like that kind of talk. Now, we got to talk about, you know, what we have to do in this world to make it better. What you have to do is to worship God. If you want rest, peace, worship the Lord. Give Him praise and thanksgiving. Don't make an association and a confederation as to how you're going to get out of your trouble. How you're going to sort out your afflictions. Come to Jesus, rejoice and give praise, give thanksgiving. Make Him your sanctuary. And many of them shall stumble and fall, verse 15, and be broken, is Isaiah 8, 15. And be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Let's look over to chapter 9 now. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation. When at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, And afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. And this shall be the burning and fuel of fire. When we're fearful and when we have no hope, when we're fearful and we have no hope, we'll do foolishly. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. You'll do anything. And you'll fall into a pit. When you're following this world, you fall into a pit. When you're following their wisdom, you fall into a pit. You fall into their way of salvation, their way of saving themselves. But the prophet said, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end." Of the increase of his government of peace and of peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, and to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here he says, of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Jesus said, standing before Pilate, that my kingdom is not of this world. That was for that hour, of course. That was for that hour. My kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't begin from this. Doesn't come forth from this world. And this kingdom, this government that shall have no end, is a government that begins from me, from the inside of me, from the Holy Spirit coming to live and to dwell on the inside of me. Because my mind is changed. My mind is changed by the Holy Spirit who comes to live and to dwell in me. That's what this government begins with. A child is born. A son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So his government is a government that lives and reigns on the inside of me. Let's look over at Luke chapter 2. Chapter 1. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Well, of course, that prophecy in Isaiah is about this man here. This birth, this baby, this Jesus. "And shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Legitimate question. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost pretty interesting. The Holy Ghost. The what? She said, "The what? The who?" This thought is interesting to come into this particular thing. Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit about 30 years later. But here, he's talking to Mary. It's not like God is speaking to the readers of the Scripture. The angel is talking to Mary. The angel is talking to Mary. And he said to her. First answer out of his mouth. First words out of his mouth. She says, "How shall this be?" The Holy Ghost. That's pretty powerful. I'm excited about the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hey, you're just excited about tongues and miracles. No! I'm excited about the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about the Holy Ghost because He comes to reveal Jesus. He comes to dwell in me. Amen? I'm not alone. I'm not just waiting for Jesus to come. Amen? You're not, are you? I'm not just waiting for Jesus to come. I've had the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost lives in me. He's here. He's with me. He's in me. He's through me. He's teaching me. He's bringing life to me. It's like He brought life to Jesus. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Now, he didn't say she was going to be called the Mother of God. Thought I'd point that out. But the one who is born of her is going to be called the Son of God. "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, this is the sixth month with her, who was barren, called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country in haste, with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, the priest, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice." She was filled with the Holy Ghost and she spoke out with a loud voice. The Holy Ghost will give you what you need to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. Remember that Jesus said that to Peter. He said, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is going to give you what to say in the hour that you need it." Here all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth and she began to speak out in a loud voice. and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What is this to me that this mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and therefore, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In other words, whatever the Lord told you is going to happen. Not only did Mary hear it, but now Elizabeth said, whatever the Lord said to you, it's going to happen. Because she just ran down the road. As soon as the angel said that, she just ran down the road and ran to the to Elizabeth's house, and you know. And all of a sudden, first of all, Elizabeth knew what something had happened, because the Holy Spirit came upon her immediately. The baby leapt in her womb. As soon as she heard, then the baby leapt in her womb. Then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came upon her. She's filled with the Holy Spirit and she began to speak. And she said, whatever God said to you is going to happen. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from hereafter all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in imagination of their hearts. And He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has He sent empty away. And He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And as He spoke to our fathers, Abraham, to his seed forever. Powerful. I believe the Holy Spirit came upon Mary as well. And Mary abode, verse 56, with her about 3 months. She returned to her own house, and Elizabeth full time came. 9 months there. After 3 months is 9 months. That she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zechariah after the name of his father. After all, if you'll remember, the father can't say anything right now. The angel hushed him up. And so his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there's nobody in your family named by that name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, and he said, his name is John. And they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open, and immediately his tongue was loosed, and he spoke and he praised God. And fear came upon all them that dwelt around about them, and saying, these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And when the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, see, these are the first occurrences of the Holy Spirit in 400 years. These are the first occurrences of prophetic utterance since Malachi. Is all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is coming to declare the entrance of the Savior, the entrance of the kingdom of heaven into this world. And Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for His house in His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant to us that we, being delivered out of His hand, our enemies might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Huh? Remember over in Isaiah chapter 9, the people in darkness seen a great light. And then begins John. See, if you look at the very last two verses of Malachi, talks about this, is that John is going, that Elijah is coming. John the Baptist, coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he's coming to join the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And that this light is being made manifest to the world. Verse 79 again, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isaiah chapter 9. Is that the people in darkness saw a great light. And that he's come to guide us into the way of peace. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till his day, till the day of his showing. And then chapter 2. Verse 25. And they bring Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. And verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Holy Ghost was all over the place this week, in these, beginning with the birth of John, now after the birth of Jesus, and the man's name was Simeon, the same as a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Sounds like the book of Acts to me. You remember when Paul said, well, we tried to go to Asia and we couldn't. Holy Spirit forbade us to go there. We tried to go over here and he forbid us to go there. We tried to go up there and so we didn't know where to go. It was all of a sudden in a dream. Man from Macedonia appeared in a dream and says, come over here and help us. So Paul was aware that the Holy Spirit was directing him. Here in this case, the Holy Spirit is with Simeon. And in fact, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Christ. And then finally he came into the temple that day by the Spirit. Don't know what he was going to do before, but all of a sudden he just said, I'm going to go to the temple early today. I'm going to go to the temple right now. Anybody ever had one of those? I'm going to go there right now. It's because the Holy Spirit will lead you and move you. Amen? The Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you, move you. Huh? The Holy Spirit, you're born again. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus told you to wait till you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit came into the earth. Then everyone, after that point, was not only born again, believed, but was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. And it's not about praying in tongues. It's about living. It's about living and hearing the voice of the Spirit and being moved daily by the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Simeon was being moved by the Spirit daily. It wasn't the same manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon for a period, for a time. The Holy Spirit was upon John. And he came by the Spirit, verse 27, into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, that is, to circumcise. Then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace." He knew that was the boy. He knew that was the child. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." According to your word, you won't die until you've seen it. Well, I guess it's now time, probably time to go. "For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Back to Isaiah chapter 8. Is that you, living here, having been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, have wisdom. Have wisdom to hear the Holy Spirit as to what to do tomorrow, what to do today, what to hear, which steps to take regarding trouble, regarding the day that the Lord has made. "This is the day that the Lord has made. How can I rejoice and be glad in it?" It's because the Holy Spirit is indwelling you to bring to pass whatever is for you today, for you to do today, or not do. Some of you got something to do. How about what if you just don't do? Don't. Stop. How about don't do? Some days you need to hear the Holy Spirit say, "Stop! Rest. Don't move." Amen? You don't always have to be moving. You don't always have to be moving. Listen. Worship. Thanks. Give praise. He will move you. He will guide you. Don't make for yourself an association to get out of trouble. As if that's going to get you out of trouble. As if that's going to get you out of trouble. You associate when God tells you to associate, but you disassociate when He tells you to disassociate. Sometimes that's harder. Amen? Well, they're my friends. I've had you there for a season. I've had you with those individuals for a season to meet your need. For instance, the story of Elijah and the widow. Story of Elijah. Elijah had this happen a lot. Story of Elijah out there being fed by the ravens. And he says, no, okay. Now the brook dried up and the ravens quit coming. Well, what do I do now? Go down to Zarephath. There's a widow woman down there who doesn't have anything. Go down to her. Go down and associate yourself with her. Some of the people God tell you to associate with, you wouldn't want to associate with. What are you nodding for? Praise the Lord. Some people you don't want to associate with. God tell you to associate with that person for a while. Jonah, he liked associating with that gourd. Remember Jonah? He liked that gourd, the shade come up. Ooh, I think I'll stay here for a while. All of a sudden the gourd dried up. The shade dried up. Now it's not God, I can tell by the ring. That'll never happen to Pastor Jim. Hallelujah. God is good, amen. I don't even know who that is. All right, praise the Lord. I hope they don't call again. Did somebody try to associate with me? I ignored them. There's a little button on there that says ignore. Yeah, there's people you try to associate with you, you ignore them. Amen. Listen, God says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to try to figure a way out. I'm not going to try to figure a way around. Now again, I'm going to back all the way up and say this. Is that hear Jesus. Hear the Holy Ghost. Because that's who God has already designed. Jesus said, there are many things I have to share with you, but you can't bear them now because the Holy Spirit hasn't yet come. Today, the Holy Spirit has come. Today, the Holy Spirit... That's the message. Somebody left the message now. The Holy Spirit left the message. Janet's supposed to help me turn this phone off. Yeah, I know, I forgot. But God, by the Holy Spirit, is giving you all of His, meeting all of your needs. He's meeting all of your needs. Amen? So He wants you to listen to Him. He wants you to turn from men and listen to Him. One more thing. Turn over to John chapter 16. Verse 12 says, I have many things yet to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and show it to you. Everything that the Father has belongs to Jesus, and He's going to take everything that belongs to Jesus and the Father, and He's going to show it to you. The Father's going to give you everything. He'll reveal it to you. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. He revealed Himself in the presence of, in the beginning, in the presence of Elizabeth and of Mary, and Simeon, as Jesus was being born. And He's now revealed Himself to you. He's revealed Himself to you so that you may know the fullness of your salvation and the fullness of sanctification that He's providing. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's not the name of the sermon. Somebody's going to name the sermon that. It's just my encouragement for you. Is this the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's because it's the day that the Lord has made. It's not because of the fact I know or not know what to do. It's because God's made the day. And He's given the day to me as a gift. And whatever happens, whatever comes my way, I'm rejoicing in Him. Amen? Are you thanking God for the Holy Ghost? He's good. Let's all stand together. Father, we magnify You and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Is anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ this morning? That they would say, Lord Jesus, I need You as a Savior. believe that your blood shed at Calvary took all my sins. And I receive you fully. And I enter into the presence of the Father because of your blood, because of your salvation that you have provided. And I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I may know the fullness of what you have done, so that the Holy Spirit may teach me what Jesus has spoken and what the Father has said, so that I may walk daily in your presence and know you. Father, I thank you for anyone here who has need of the Holy Spirit. Been born again, but you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That you would say, Father, I thank you that you are a good God, knowing how to give good gifts to your children. That you would promise you would give the Holy Spirit to them who would ask. And that in the book of Acts, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were empowered. As Jesus had instructed them to wait, they were empowered to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils. They were also empowered to hear the word of the Lord and to interpret, to know what the word of the Lord is, to understand and to know what had been provided for them, even as we. So, Father, I ask you for those who have asked to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Let them speak with new tongues, which is to worship you and to thank you and to praise you. Father, we magnify you and give you all praise. We celebrate the birth of your Savior, of the Savior, even as the angels came and declared it to the shepherds. We rejoice. And we give you praise and thanks forevermore. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.